Radio Rehab, sponsored by Brentwood Meadows. There's hope, there's help. Your host for the show is Lisa Seif, who is a practicing professional counselor and adjunct professor at USI. Lisa invites you to pick up the phone and give her a call at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. We hope you enjoy today's program. And now, Radio Rehab.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Evansville. I want to thank you for tuning in this morning to Radio Rehab, and I am your hostess for today. And my name is Kelly Scroggins. We also want to say thank you to Lisa Seif, our founder and host of Radio Rehab, for allowing me the opportunity to come to you every fourth Saturday of the month. So again, thank you for tuning in to Radio Rehab. Also, I am delighted to have as my guest today, John Martin. John is a husband, a father, a minister, and a member of our recovering community. I am glad to call him friend. Welcome, John.
Welcome, Sister Kelly.
Thank you for coming. Also, we want to tell you, too, we want to encourage you to call in with your questions and your comments. Call in today so we can hear from you. Again, that number is 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. We do this show for you every week, so call in and let us hear from you. Well, John, as usual, we're talking about recovery. You know, we talk about the solutions to life's problems. And so today we're going to talk about recovery. We're going to talk about change. We're going to talk about what it means to really recover. And so in my studying for or preparing for today's show, I looked up the definition of recovery. And it's a real formal definition. It says something like recovery is a process of change that improves or shows improvement in our health, our home, our purpose, and our community.
Okay.
Wow, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I think probably people like me and you, we can find a simpler way to talk about recovery. So, John, for you, what would you say recovery is?
Well, recovery, like you said, is a life-changing process.
Yeah.
You know, you have to really let go and let God, like we was talking earlier, in order to be successful in your recovery. Because I found many times when I've tried to intervene, my way always led me in the wrong direction.
Wow, you just said a mouthful there too. Yeah, it's a life process.
It's a life process.
You know, and I guess for me, that when I hear that life process, it reminds me that It's an ever-growing, ever-evolving process. And so it is a process that I should be on for a very long time, if not for the rest of my life. Because I think we never get to the point to where we've grown as much as we ever going to grow. I think there's always room for growth. There's always room for learning. And for me, there's definitely always room for improvement.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So, John, we talked about it being a process of change. And we hear oftentimes that change is necessary. What do you think about that? Do you really believe that it was necessary for you to change in order for you to stop using?
Well, yes, because the first part of it for me was to not use drugs, and then go into the formality of, doing things totally different.
Right. So how were you able to not use drugs? So what did that look like for you? Because like you said, I think that's the first piece.
Yes.
And that's also our first step.
Yes.
Having been able to admit it, and we're powerless over our addictions.
Right. Mm-hmm. You had to get to the part of life where you knew that that just wasn't prosperous in your life.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I sought out help through all kind of treatment centers, people that had looked more clean time than me, and started submitting to it.
Wow, man, that word right there, submitting. Is so powerful. I was on a phone call this morning from with a friend of ours from Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Remember Richard Taylor?
Yeah.
Richard, I was on the phone with Richard this morning from Pennsylvania. Richard told me to tell everybody in Evansville hi. And we were talking about the process of recovery. And he said that you have to submit.
Yes,
you know, you have to submit. And so, yeah, sometimes for us, I'm going to say admit and then submit.
Yes, yes.
Because until I can admit that I have a problem, you know, whatever my addiction is, you know, for me it was drugs and alcohol. For some people it's drugs, alcohol. It could be gambling, sex, food. Some people are addicted to getting money.
Yeah.
You know,
lying.
We know. Lord
lying.
God.
Gossiping. Yes.
And so, you know, the first thing we had to do was admit, though, that, like you said, this thing or this way of life was just not prosperous for us. It just didn't benefit us. It wasn't for our good. You know, what are some of the things, John, that happened to you? If you could tell me real briefly some things that happened that made you believe that it just wasn't prosperous, it just wasn't good for you. Either it wasn't good for you or it wasn't good for the people around you. It was something that happened that led you to believe, you know what, this ain't working.
Being homeless.
Wow.
And not just only being homeless, but for 16 years.
You were homeless for, every time you tell me that story, every time you tell me that story, I look at you in amazement.
Yeah.
16 years. Wow.
Of being without a roof over my head, without having really anywhere to go. That people that didn't know me, people
right.
that knew me, knew not to, you know,
let
have
you.
Any dealings with me.
Wow.
But bad taking me so long to acknowledge that
mm-hmm.
this ain't the way I really need to go.
How come it took you so long? Do you know?
Because I wasn't ready to submit.
Wow, that's
it. I wasn't ready for the life change.
That's it.
You know, they told me that I would have to have a geographical change in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, only thing I knew how to do is go hustle some money.
Mm-hmm.
And go spend it the wrong way.
And you know, when we talk about geographical change, some people may think, well, why do I have to leave town or leave the state? You don't necessarily have to leave the town or leave the state, but you definitely got to leave the place.
That's right. That's
you have to leave the place.
Or you have to get out of you.
Wow. Yeah.
And let go, like you said, and let God.
Self. Wow. Yeah, that's powerful right there. So you say you were homeless for 16 years. What are some other things, John, that maybe made you realize that it was just enough was enough? It was time to do something different.
You know, very good, important people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Not really wanting to be around you because
mm-hmm.
they feel it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it was.
If they felt, even if it was just giving money and letting you go, they was just at the point then where, you know, ain't nothing helping this young man right now.
Right, right. And I know one of the things for me, in addition to being homeless, because I too had times of homelessness, by the grace of God, none was as long as 16 years, but it felt like 16 years sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and then also, like you talked about the severing or the losing of valuable relationships, but I tell you, the one motivating factor for me was waking up every single day with utter dread, like just being consumed with hopelessness and despair and depressed and just feeling so unworthy and just all of those horrible feelings that you feel when you're using, you continue to use, you've torn down everything, you've broken relationships, you've lost everything. And then when you wake up the next morning, you want to use again. Oh my God.
Yes.
That whole cycle there was enough to thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God lead me to a place to where I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready. And so you talked about being ready. And you know, we talked about having to change. What are some of the things, John, that we had to change? Can you give me some examples of either some actions,
mm-hmm.
some things that you used to do, or some behaviors
mm-hmm.
of yours that you had to change? Let's start with actions. What were some of the things you used to do in your addictive lifestyle that you knew you couldn't take over into a new, clean, sober, recovering lifestyle?
Being manipulative, lying, not wanting to be incarcerated at a certain period of time in my life. And, you know, all those things kind of with me work hand in hand. So, you know, like you say, you're waking up each day with a feeling that, you know, what am I going to do today? It's only two steps, get some money and go do this. But, you know, I got to the point in my life that, you know, I was miserable. And I was looking for help, but didn't really know where to find help.
Wow.
You know, because I was so trapped into my disease to where I didn't want to reach out and ask for help. But only until I did, you know, my that's when the life process and change of recovery came into my life. You know, me beautiful people as yourself, you know, because I'm not really from here, from Chicago. And, you know, that's a big city. And, you know, I say, when I was on it down here, I was like, this is the worst place to be trapped into a drug in a small town like this, because it's not like where I come from. It's like on hand 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week. But, you know, only until I allowed God to, and I had to totally surrender, you know, I had to tell myself, you know, this is what you're going to have to do.
Wow.
In order for this change.
Yeah, in order to live.
In order to live.
You know, John, you talked about one of those actions. You talked about being manipulative, or manipulation. And I just want to kind of throw this out there for free. Drug addicts, alcoholics, we're not the only manipulators. But manipulation usually is par for the course. It is. It is. So how, you know, we talk about, so that's a behavior. You know, those are things that we do that oftentimes what I see happen when we get sober or we get clean, we stop the drinking or we stop the drugging. But things like manipulation, using people, being dishonest, being lazy, those types of behaviors, always playing the victim, blaming other people, being insecure and uncomfortable, all those types of things were the kind of things that even though we weren't drinking and drugging, those were still some behaviors that didn't allow us to have healthy, productive lives with the people around us and our community. So those are called, we call those defects of character. With those defects of characters, John, tell me something about defects of characters.
For me, being dishonest, like
yeah,
I say, very manipulative. You know, defect of character to me is just, you know, not doing things right. For me.
And you know what, John? We're going to take this commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to begin our conversation about defects of character. We hope you join us when we come back after commercial break.
It's a proven fact that one in three adults will be affected by a mental health or substance abuse issue. Think about that. One in three. Think about your family, your friends. If you or someone you care about is suffering from depression, anxiety, anger, or any type of chemical dependency, including alcohol, Brentwood Meadows can help. Left untreated, these conditions can lead to pain and suffering that destroys lives. Help yourself or a loved one today. Call Brentwood Meadows to schedule a free evaluation at 858-7200. Phones are answered 24 hours a day.
During the spring into summer savings event at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville, get queen beds for only $277, a five-piece dining room for only $427, and sofas at the Ashley direct price of $397. Save throughout the store, plus get 0% interest for 18 months. Now's the time to get the mattress of your dreams. Don't miss huge savings on Ashley Sleep, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic. At Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville, some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Thank you, Tri-State, for making KC Beauty Mart your one-stop shop. We carry thousands of hair products to meet your every need with over 600 synthetic wigs. Come check out our authentic snapbacks for only $25.99. Boots are buy one, get one half off. And you can't beat our large selection of clothing and accessories. And there's even a 30-day layaway plan. Ladies, we even service your eyelashes for just $4. Stop in Monday through Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. or on Sundays from noon to 7 p.m. KC Beauty Mart, located on Van Avenue, next to the Family Dollar, is your one-stop shop.
You're listening to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. We encourage you to call into this live program at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. You can also listen on the World Wide Web at 1400 AM WEOA.com. We thank our guests for coming in today. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
All right, thanks Evansville for returning and joining us here with my guest, John Martin. And so in case you're just tuning in, we've been talking about the process of recovery. You know, we call it a process because it's not something that happens overnight. We oftentimes stop drinking and drugging, and that's just the beginning or the tip of the iceberg, wouldn't you say, John?
Yes.
And so because we call it a process of recovery, we're going to share with you today, we have been sharing with you what that process involved, and it really primarily, to sum it all up, involves change. And we've been talking today about a change in our actions and behaviors, also known as character defects. Reverend Martin, do you have any character defects?
Oh, a lot of them.
And
I thank God today that I'm aware of them. Because when they start arising in my life, I can identify them. And put them to rest, but they still flare up.
Wow.
Thank God that I can recognize them today, because at first I was perfect.
I didn't do this.
Yeah. So, thank God for me acknowledging that.
You know, I thought I was unique. I thought I was the only one that pointed the finger all the time and blamed everybody else. So that is a trait that's characteristic of us, huh? Reverend Martin, can you give me maybe just one example of one character defect that you had or you used while you were using, and even once you got clean and got sober, that defect kept showing up or rearing its ugly head, and what you had to do to get rid of that defect? Because you said something I thought was interesting. You said you have a lot of defects. And you know, I think we all have a lot of defects, but I think when we're on this process of recovery, we do begin to see them eradicated. They do go away. And then, like you said, maybe we'll pick them back up, but God removes them.
Yeah.
Give me an example of something that had to be removed, but you chose to hold on to, and maybe some damage that you saw in your life, in your early stages of recovery.
Being very manipulative. Great liar. And I knew that, you know, if I didn't let go of these things, that my recovery wouldn't be true to me. So I knew I had to, you know, ask for help from God, you know, because I had did it so long. Like you say, that was my comfortable stage. And you couldn't get me out of my comfortable stage.
So right.
In order for me to succeed in this, you know, I knew that I had to be willing to let go. So God, he intervened. I gave God the opportunity to intervene. Because a lot of times, you know, in the program, we have to say, you know, take the cotton out of our ears and put them in our mouth.
Oh, gosh, don't we?
I was a great talker. So, you know, I seen where my talking led me to being homeless. So I said, well, all the energy that I put into that, the productive energy, I have to also put it into this too. And it didn't take long for God to open doors for me to see that you don't have to be this way to succeed.
Wow.
And it happens so quick for us. It really, you know, that's why a lot of times I believe sometimes people go back out.
Why?
You know, because they haven't really submitted.
Nope. That's it.
See, they want to, you know, have both sides of the fence and the cake and ice cream too, and it don't work that way. You know, so you have to be totally submitted to what God has, you know, for us to be successful in this recovery program.
Wow, wow. You know, we're talking about character defects today, and those things or those behaviors that we picked up in our life at some point or another, either as defense mechanisms, comfort zones, because they worked for us.
Yeah.
They simply worked for us. Yeah. You know, we had a saying, see a fool bump his head. And you know, it was things like that that we used to say, and I think maybe at some point really believed, that if you placed yourself in a position to be harmed or for me to get you, I had a right to get you. You know, and how crazy is that? You know, and I think what happens is we get sober and we stop drinking and we stop using. But if we're not careful, we'll still be using people. You know, a lot of times when you say using people, people think, oh, well, he or she is trying to get somebody's money. Well, it could be your money. It could be your time. It could be anything. Anything. You know, that's why a lot of people like to play the victim. You know, because they do it to get that attention. And so our character defects are so self-serving. I think that's the point that I wanted to make. They are so self-serving. That's why we have them, because they benefit us. And so in order for us to grow in this process of recovery, we have to be willing to let go of something that either brings us joy, peace, a financial benefit or material gain. And you're telling me that I've been doing this for 15, 20 years and I've been getting some out of it. And now I got to give it up? That's not my problem. My problem is I drink. You know, and that's why I think for so many of us, we are what we call a state of just dryness. We just don't drink. We don't get high. But we're not recovering, because recovering really is about change. You know. You know, another thing, John, we talked about was that six and seven step. And it says, we're entirely ready to have God remove all defects of character. And then there's a 12-step spiritual principle that says, entirely ready to voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in our lives. Ooh-wee, that's a tall order right there.
Yes, it is.
How about that piece, remove all? What do you think about that word, all?
Oh, Lord, all. That means everything.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, I have to be entirely ready for when these challenges and certain situations arise in my life. To know that this is a life change for me for the better. You know, I don't have to
revert back to old behaviors.
Right. That's right. I have to go into the newness of this. And, you know, you will see it in the beginning, because it might can enlighten somebody else's life. You know, and God, and if you seeking God in for realness, then he will give you that peace and calmness.
You know,
this is where you need to be.
Man.
And you,
this is where we need to be, because I tell you, life, a bad day in recovery is better than my best day when I was using to get money. My gosh. I mean, today I'm able to wake up, and even if everything else isn't going right in my life, I'm able to wake up, and even if I don't have a whole lot of money and the bills are due, and, you know, life has just shown up and thrown me some kind of catastrophe, the fact that I am clean and sober, sober-minded, and have relationship with the God of my understanding, man, it makes it bearable.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it bearable, and we also are reminded that no matter what happens, drinking or drugging just ain't going to solve it.
That's right.
It's not going to solve it. Reverend Martin, if you would share with us, in general, a situation that maybe you encountered in your recovery where normally you would have taken a drink or a drug, but because of your process, you made the decision not to. Is there any type of trauma or pain or incident that you went through being sober that made you think, wow, just for a brief moment, a drink or a drug would sure be good, but then because of your process of surrendering your will to God, that process that told you that you're powerless, but God has all power, that made you think differently?
When things just don't go my way. You know, I am used to things kind of going my way because I know I submitted my life to God. Just because of that, that don't mean that everything's going to go perfect. So it be times where you say, oh, Lord, you know, but like you say, my best days is not using compared to all the money or all the glamorous time that I had in my addiction. You know, that I can face tomorrow, you know, with the hope of God.
You know, I was, you know, I do spiritual and substance abuse counseling. And so I was talking with a young lady a couple weeks ago, and she's struggling with her addiction, you know, and she's losing the battle. And so she showed up about 3:30 in the morning and completely devastated, and she began to tell me all these reasons why she's using. Her father has died. She's having problems in her home and in her marriage, and these are all the reasons
why she's using.
What do you say to someone who thinks they're using because somebody else died or because they're having problems in their life? Because I know for me, in my recovery process, people have died on me. So do you think it's really because one is grieving or someone has died as to why we use? Did you use only when somebody died?
I was an addict, real addict, so I could use any little excuse.
Say it again.
I was a real addict. I could lost my penny. Oh man, you know. But if I found the dollar, then hey, I can go a little further.
Right, lost your penny, man. I need a drink.
So
found a dollar, man. I need a drink.
I've lost, you know, loved ones in the process, and I had asked myself way in the beginning of the process that if something like this would happen in my life, what would I do? Because I've heard stories like that too, and you know, and it sounded so good, and that was a good reason. You gonna tell me that, cause mama, dad, I shouldn't have used, but you know, you do so much better when you can face, you know, the dilemmas that come in our lives.
You know,
without the drink or drugs or, you know, even the bad thinking.
Even with the bad thinking.
You know, it's just not like you said with the drinks and drugs. You know, a lot of my hangups was cause of my bad decision and thinking making.
Bad thinking. Wow, you know what, Reverend Martin, you gave us a good place to close out on our bad thinking. You know, because it really was our thinking that made us think that because someone died, that that was a license or permission to drink. So we're going to go ahead and take this quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about bad thinking.
Our country was stricken by horrific tragedies in 2012. This has brought the topic of mental health to the forefront of all of our minds. It is so important for our community to recognize and guide our loved ones to seek help. Please, please call Brentwood Meadows if you know someone who may be suffering from a mental health issue. It could be depression, anxiety, or even loneliness. These people need our help. Call Brentwood Meadows today at 858-7200. There's hope. There's help. That's 858-7200.
During the spring into summer savings event at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville, get queen beds for only $277, a five-piece dining room for only $427, and sofas at the Ashley direct price of $397. Save throughout the store, plus get 0% interest for 18 months. Now's the time to get the mattress of your dreams. Don't miss huge savings on Ashley Sleep, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic. At Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville, some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Tune in every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Sunday Evening Gospel Show, hosted by Byron Lander.
Byron plays your favorite traditional and contemporary gospel music while providing you with inspirational thoughts and messages that will bless your soul. You can call in your musical and prayer requests at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. The Sunday Evening Gospel Show is always found right here on Magic 98.5 FM and 1400 AM.
Listen Monday through Friday at 7:45 a.m. for your Live Smart Tip of the Day, sponsored by Vectren. There are dozens of free and low-cost ways to help manage your energy bills this spring, and these weekly tips will help start you off on the right track. To manage your account or to learn about Vectren rebates and other conservation tips, log on to Vectren.com. And don't forget to dial 811 before you dig. Your Live Smart Tip of the Day is heard every weekday on 1400 a.m. and the new Magic 98.5 FM.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. Phone lines are always open to share your live comments, so give us a call right now at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
Thank you, Evansville, for tuning in and coming back to join us here with my guest, John Martin. John is a local minister here, but he is also a sober, clean and sober member of our recovering community who has multiple years of sobriety. So we thank God that he's here today to share his experience, his strength, and his hope in an attempt to help us continue along our process. And we want to encourage you, if you're out there today and you're listening and you're struggling with your addiction and you just don't know where to go and you're feeling hopeless, we want to encourage you to pick up the phone and to call. You know, let us give you some information on where to go and what to do, because there is hope and there is help out there. The key is you have to be entirely ready. And so if you're ready, we're here for you. John, you were talking about, right before commercial break, bad thinking. And you know what? It sounds a little funny, but I can't think of any other way or any other way to call it other than bad thinking. What is bad thinking, Rev? Oh, some bad thinking, Lord.
Yeah, well, for me, that's thinking outside the box, the way I normally think, and bad thinking is,
I know for me, bad thinking was me thinking that I had the answer.
Yeah. To all your solutions.
All my solutions. See, my
problem. And yours, too.
Yeah, and yours, too.
I gave you better advice than you can give yourself.
And you would be all right if you would just do like I tell you to. Bad thinking. Man, bad thinking was that thinking that got me to believing that the way I was living was okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't harming nobody else. And I would be fine if everybody would just
leave me alone.
I ain't hurting you. I'm not bothering you.
But you just don't know how devastating it does to your loved ones.
Yeah.
Your friend, you know, you do have one or two friends out of life that really love and can be concerned about you.
No matter what.
It hurts them to their heart to just see you. Mm-hmm. And you can see it in them when they looking at you.
Oh, my God, that look in their eye.
Like, I just can't believe this. But, you know, for me, you know, it just turned around to where, you know, I had developed hope in my life.
Mm.
And I took that look of insecurity to, wow, look how amazing God is.
Look
how God is using this young man's life.
You know, we're talking about that bad thinking.
Thank
you know,
you.
You know, it starts in our mind.
Yes, it does.
It starts in our mind.
Yes.
You know, it starts with the thought, and God forbid if it's a wrong thought.
Oh
my God, that thought has a way of just festering
in our minds,
growing, and then we act out on it. You know, and it doesn't even have to be anything, Reverend Martin, about using. I know with women, a woman can look at one woman and look at this woman that either she barely knows and says, yeah, she don't like me. And in this person's mind, they put in their mind that this person doesn't like them. And that it started with a thought. Yeah. And then from there, they act out. They don't speak, or they're rude, or they do some backbiting and some character assassination, all because that thought, that bad thinking, told them something, you know. And so bad thinking, again, I want to tell you in Radio Land, if you're listening, it's not only alcoholics and addicts that have bad thinking.
Thank you.
Need to tell them about that bad thinking this morning. If you're on the radio, call in and get you some help for bad thinking. You know, John, I really thank you for being on the show today and helping.
It's always a privilege to be here.
Man, isn't it a privilege?
Yes,
it is. It's a privilege that after all the mistakes and all the wrong turns that we have made, that now, by the grace of God, we've been able to go through this process, a continual process, long enough that every now and then we can say something to help somebody.
Amen.
Man, that's powerful for me.
Yes, it is.
That's powerful for me that if I would be willing to get real honest and real transparent and be willing to share some of my experiences, that it can bring strength and hope to somebody else. And so we want to encourage you too in Radio Land, if you're listening and you have some experiences, be it good or bad, you know, don't be unwilling to share it with somebody, because somebody may need that information. Looks like we have a caller. Caller?
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Sister Sandra Matthews. I'm really enjoying the program this morning.
Well, good morning, Sandra. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I think to some extent, well, to a great extent, that bad thinking comes from not wanting to please the Father.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, sometimes we grow up thinking that God is looking for ways to punish us. So we say, we have to do this, we have to do that. But when we get to the place where we want to please the Father, then our thinking automatically changes. Mm. And then our earthly father, I think for many young black males who don't have that father figure, have the father in their lives, who they really want to meet that expectation. They want to please their earthly father.
Mm-hmm.
But when boys don't have that relationship, that earthly relationship, then they turn to other, they're open, they're vulnerable,
mm-hmm,
to other ways of thinking. But pleasing, wanting to please both our earthly and our heavenly father, I think can eliminate bad thinking. I'll hang up and hear what y'all say.
Wow, thanks, Sandra.
All right.
Wow. Bad thinking, you know, Reverend Martin, man, I think she hit home on a couple things. You know, that's why in our program of recovery, that third step says, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God. And like she said, not until I'm willing to let go of my will and to accept his will as the perfect way for my life. And when that happens, then that bad thinking will begin to eliminate, because I'll no longer believe the lies. I call it the committee in my head. I tell them sometimes, my kids say, Mama, what's wrong with you? I have that look on my face. I'll say, the committee's talking. Yeah, but when I bring my mind into agreement with God's will for my life, then when that committee starts to speak, and it may say negative things to me about my sense of self-esteem or self-worth, because I know what my heavenly father says about me, then I can take that thought and say, oh no, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, when I'm troubled and my mind is full of worry and anxiety, I can say, oh no, it says be anxious for nothing. You know, and so when I understand who he is and my desire is to be in right relationship with him and for his will to be mine, I don't struggle no more. I cease fighting. The big book says we cease fighting anything or anybody because we have surrendered our will.
Yes.
You know, we've surrendered our need to be right.
Yes.
We surrendered our need to be heard.
Yes.
Because you know what? I don't have to be right.
Mm-hmm.
The truth don't need no defense.
Defense.
Yeah. Think what you want to think. Say what you want to say. You know, and I think she is so right about that. And even with the earthly father, one of the reasons why I admire you so is because you are a father to a young man.
Yes.
And Jeremy is an awesome, respectful young man. I don't care where I see him. I have never seen him out of pocket. I have never seen or heard him be disrespectful to me or any of his elders. And he carries himself like a young man. And I think you're part of that reason. What do you think about the impact that fathers make on their boys?
Well, yes, you do make a great impact on your kid's life. And, you know, that was one of the great reasons that I knew that I had to keep myself in the right perspective,
mm-hmm.
because I had a young man, not only one, I have two sons and five daughters, but you know, for the be the right role model for
mm-hmm.
my son,
mm-hmm.
no matter about if we can go to the mall every week or this kid has better clothes than you or they have more money, it's about you know, the respect.
Mm-hmm.
And the will that you have.
Yeah. I see.
A good person in life. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I am very blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not the only one and that says it to me. And I say with all my best, you know, look at my son. You know,
and that God?
And that's God.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm truly blessed to have a young man. Mm-hmm. that I could be a role model for
mm-hmm.
like that.
But you know, Rev, I think part of it is that you're present.
Yeah.
Like you said, you may not have all the money in the world to give him all those things, but you're present.
Present.
When he goes to bed at night,
Dad's there.
When he wakes up in the morning,
Dad's there.
And he knows when he leaves in the morning, Dad expects him to go where?
To school.
Dad expects him to get his homework out.
That's right.
And Dad's going to be available in the evening to check up and to make sure that he's doing that. You know, I look at how involved you are even in his extracurricular activities. You don't just let him play on the basketball team. You go to their games.
Yes.
You know, you don't just wake up on Sunday morning and go to church.
Yeah.
When you go,
everybody go. Can't nobody be left behind.
Can't nobody stay at home, Red.
Yeah, can't nobody stay behind.
What if they don't feel good?
And the enemy waiting on me as I come back into the house. Even if you just land there, I'm like, wow, you know, it's 1 o'clock. You should be up. I'm tired. Nah. Have some kind of holiness about
that. I know that's right. And you know, those are some of the kind of values that we are seeing released from our community. You know, that used to be the way that all families were structured.
Yes.
You know, going to school and going to church were two expectations.
That's right.
That your parents had for you.
Yeah.
And anything short
wasn't happening.
And if it did, there were some grievous consequences.
That's right.
Well, we want to thank our caller, Sandra Matthews, for calling in with that comment and those statements. And so we're going to go ahead and take our last commercial break. And we want to encourage you to come back and join us here at Radio Rehab.
Mom, what if something happens to Dad?
Why would something happen to Dad?
Tom's dad died, and he wasn't even sick. Now they have to move.
Life's unpredictable. And when you put off things like life insurance, you can get caught off guard. Fidelity Life makes protecting your family affordable, even in today's economy. Less than $15 a month buys a healthy 40-year-old a $250,000 term life insurance policy. We just assess your needs, give you our best quote and our competitors, and then you choose. We work directly with the nation's top carriers to find the policy that's right for you. And because we give you the best quotes, you can save up to 70%. Call 1-800-593-1400 for your free quote and 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-593-1400. That's 1-800-593-1400. Or visit FidelityLife.com. Fidelity Life Association is licensed in all states and the District of Columbia, except for Wyoming and New York. Not all products available in all states. Applications and rates are subject to underwriting approval.
It's a proven fact that 1 in 3 adults will be affected by a mental health or substance abuse issue. Think about that. 1 in 3. Think about your family, your friends. If you or someone you care about is suffering from depression, anxiety, anger, or any type of chemical dependency, including alcohol, Brentwood Meadows can help. Left untreated, these conditions can lead to pain and suffering that destroys lives. Help yourself or a loved one today. Call Brentwood Meadows to schedule a free evaluation at 858-7200. Phones are answered 24 hours a day.
During the spring into summer savings event at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville, get queen beds for only $277, a five-piece dining room for only $427, and sofas at the Ashley direct price of $397. Save throughout the store, plus get 0% interest for 18 months. Now's the time to get the mattress of your dreams. Don't miss huge savings on Ashley Sleep, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic. At Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville, some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit att.com/enhancedptt3 to get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby 3. You push to talk, we pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Limited time offer. Free phone on new activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk service.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
How much stuff did you get?
Oh, nothing much. Just a few essential things for our Cinco de Mayo party. Oh, here's your favorite, Coca-Cola.
Awesome.
You got Mission Tortilla Chips. Whoa, a piñata. And a mariachi band.
Like I said, just the essentials.
This Cinco de Mayo, make your party an authentic fiesta with an ice-cold Coca-Cola and new Mission Super Soft Tortillas. And bring home the fiesta.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ashley. I'm a dentist, and for some reason, people don't like to visit me. And I sort of get it. So here's what you can do to make your visits more pleasant for both of us. Try Crest Pro Health products. With regular use, they do wonders for those areas we dentists check most, like plaque, tartar, and gingivitis. So go ahead, give Crest Pro Health a try. The better you are to your mouth, the better I am to you. There's good oral health, and then there's Pro Health. Go Pro!
Welcome back to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. Phone lines are always open to share your live comments, so give us a call right now at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
Wow, we want to thank you again, Evansville, for joining us here on Radio Rehab. And, you know, I am so grateful to God for allowing us to be on this radio show. I just received a text message from an old friend. You know who you are. And I thank God that you're listening today. And there is hope for you, because the same God that helped me can help you. The same program of recovery is available for you. You just got to want it, old friend, and be entirely ready. And when you're ready, you call me, and I will do everything within my God-given power to help you. And remember, I love you, and we are always praying for you. Man, thank God. Thank God. That's why we do what we do, huh, Red Martin?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and
reach
so
out to others.
Reach out to others. We have to be willing to give away what was given to us, because truth be told, it took the grace of God to get us where we are. We didn't do it on our own.
No.
Then couldn't do it on my own.
No.
tried so many times and failed on my faith. Yeah. And so we thank God for what he's doing in our lives. And so for those people that may be out there in radio land, Reverend Martin, they might be feeling a little hopeless this morning because maybe their story is like ours. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've tried 15, 20, 30, 40 times to quit. You know, maybe they've been in and out of treatments. I know I have. You know, maybe they've lost some stuff because I've lost everything. Everything. Not once. Not twice. How many times, Rem?
Three, four.
You know, we've lost things over and over again, and we fail. You know, but
trying to expect different results. You
know, doing the same thing, yeah. But one, there is a place where we got to one of those days where when we fail, that we made a decision that this time I'm gonna do something different. Wow. Tell me, for you, Rev, what was it? I know you talk about you relocated, you came here, and even after you came here, you fell off again. Mm-hmm. We all did. You know, I relocated, came here, fell off here, you know, had to go into treatment down in Louisville, and, you know, all of that. So, but tell me, at some point that last fall, what did you do different this last time that you didn't do before?
Surrender.
What does that mean? Because, you know, we say that a lot, but for somebody who might be struggling, there might really be somebody who really don't understand what surrender means.
That means you have to totally let go. You know, because you know you tried it your way all the time and it just didn't work for you. And you know, for me, I knew I had to totally surrender and allow God to give me the purposely direction that I needed for my life.
So what was one of the first things you gave up?
Pride.
Wow.
Pride.
Pride before destruction. Our pride gets us in the way. Give me an example of something, maybe how pride kept you from getting some help.
Because who I was, who I thought I was.
Ooh, how about that? Who I thought I was.
Who I thought I was.
Ain't nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. You know, yeah, for me, pride, you know, I didn't want to have to be the one to say it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to be the one to tell people. But little did I know, they already knew.
They're watching you.
Everybody around me already knew.
Yeah.
It wasn't no secret. The only secret was that it wasn't no secret. And so, yeah, my pride, you know. But you know, one thing I realized when I went into treatment and I was telling the lady there about my pride. She said, pride? What pride? She said, you know how many times you swallowed your pride when you was using? When you banged on the man's door, when you was begging for more, when you was doing whatever it took for you to get one more, and now all of a sudden you get a few 24 hours clean and now you got some pride. Bad thinking. Okay, so we talked about surrendering our pride. So that meant we had to do what? Be willing to reach out for help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had to, you know, take the suggestions that people was giving me.
What kind of suggestions did they give you, Red Martin?
Productive suggestions, you know, go find a job. Don't take everything out your house and sell it no more.
Well, how about this one, Red? This was a real good one for me. Because I don't know about you, but I was the kind of addict where I could always get a job.
Yeah.
So getting a job wasn't no problem for me. But it was once I got the paycheck. See, so in the beginning, So in the beginning, I had to swallow my pride and I had to go to somebody else and say, hey, on such and such day, at such and such time, I get paid. And I know I'm a grown woman and I should be able to do this, but the truth of the matter is I can't. So can you please meet me or be at my job and take my paycheck out of my hand? Because the truth of the matter is, if I get real honest with myself, if I hold on to it, at some point, I'm going to find a way to get out the house, a reason, somebody, or something. And I'm going to start off with another lie that I'm going to lie to myself and tell myself I'm only going to do a little bit. And before you know it, it's been 3, 4, 5 days, and I've been missing in action. So those are some of the suggestions. When they said, Kelly, you can't handle your money right now.
Yeah.
I couldn't say, what do you mean I can't handle my money? I can. Was that your story, Reb?
Yes.
What were some of
the... the same tactic that you had to...
gave your money to your wife?
Huh?
You gave your money to your wife?
Well, at the time, I wasn't married to my wife.
Okay.
And, I was in treatment, and I had a financial advisor.
Okay.
And he told me that I didn't know what to do with my money.
Did it make you mad as a man?
Yeah, and I was like, you know, he's jealous because I was doing this. But you know what? When I turned
bad thinking.
Around and followed his way,
mm-hmm.
it worked out for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It did. It really did. It worked out for me. I was able to save a little money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it was time for me to leave that treatment facility, you know, I had enough money to rent me a place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I say only through the grace of God, using this man to be instrumental in my life to help me to come around. That's what happened.
Yeah. I had to be willing. I had to be willing to take some suggestions, and I had to be willing to get honest with myself.
Yeah.
And so I had to do some things different. What are some of the things different? What about the things you used to do or the places you used to go? What about that?
I had to change all that. You know, even some of them was family members.
Wow.
It's family members now that I know that I, you know, just can't be around.
Mm-hmm.
And spend too much time with because the extracurricular activities they like to be invested in.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be easier for me following them back than them following me saying, you know what?
Yeah.
Let me go to church this week and let me straighten my life out.
Right.
And see if, you know, so, you know, people, places, and things, you know, also, you know, get us caught up in a lot of things. So, you know, I don't mind today, you know, being by myself or being in certain kind of environments that's going to be productive for my life.
Yeah.
A few 24 hours ago, I didn't feel like that. I didn't feel comfortable in those type of places because it seemed like I was the light being cut on to somebody that's in the dark world.
Mm.
So if that light come on, everybody know who I am.
Wow.
You know, so today I can go in feeling confident, you know, that I'm here through the grace of God.
That's it. Yep, not because we're so special.
No.
Not because we've made all the right choices. And no, because left to our own devices, we trip and stumble all over ourselves.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, and so, man, we've been talking today about the process of recovery and what it takes to not only to get clean and sober, but to maintain our sobriety. And the thing that we've been shared is in order for us to maintain it, we had to continue the process of change. You know, we have to continue. Reverend Mark, real quickly, what if you just have so many character defects or you've just messed up so bad every area in your life? What do you say to that person, or how do you begin to put your life back together?
First, I have to get on my knees and pray to ask God to give me the strength that I don't have.
Yeah.
For so many times I done failed in.
Mm-hmm.
And I know hope within God that, you know, things can be corrected.
Wow, right there. That's powerful right there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having to pray, to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things I know for me, when I looked at my life, I had messed up my whole entire life. And so trying to fix it all at once became very overwhelming. And so we have a saying in recovery, we say it's about progress and not perfection. So I had to pick one area of my life and work on that one area. And work on that, and then the next area, and then the next area. And so we want to thank you for tuning in to Radio Rehab. And if you're out there listening, remember, there is hope. There really is hope. There really is an answer to the problem. We want to encourage you to reach out to Restoration Ministries at 812-305-9677. We continue to serve as a resource line for you. We don't have the answers. We're not professional counselors. We're just people that's willing to share what was so freely given to us. So call us. Maybe we can help point you in the right direction. Until this same time next week, we pray that all is well with you and see you again on Radio Rehab.
Thank you for tuning into Radio Rehab, and what an awesome show today was. Once again, we want to thank our guests and host for donating their time to this program of recovery. Radio Rehab is only a support to the real work of recovery and does not offer definitive answers or attempt to counsel anyone in their own personal behavior. Although the show does not endorse any program of recovery, it holds the belief that most recovery works are in an effort of true conviction and concern for the benefit of the suffering, and can be trusted to offer real hope and better choices. Radio Rehab airs every Saturday morning from 10 until 11 on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA, and at 1400 AM WEOA.com.